Hello there. Thanks for joining us for the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Tom Collins. And we are tackling six Shergar Cup races from Ascot. They're live on ITV on Saturday afternoon, as are two races at Haydock and one at Newmarket. And then we will turn our attention to Sunday, where there's Group 1 action over in Ireland. And I'll get an early look on what is boiling up to be, well, not far short, the race of the century. The Arc is looking brilliant. 3-1 the field. We'll see what the boys fancy there. But we'll start with the Shergar Cup. Six races. You know the score. It's well established by now. Team competition, all wearing very similar colours, points. At the end of it, someone sprays someone else with champagne. But we will focus more on the six individual races rather than the outright competition. First of all, though, DJ, your views on the Shergar Cup. Are you a fan? Do you hate it? Or are you somewhere in between?
I don't hate it for the fact that it's trying new things. And I think we should always be trying new things. But teamwork doesn't work in racing. That's my opinion. Same with the Racing League, same with Shergar Cup. I just don't think teams work, because to support a team, you have to really care about the team. It's like, you know, Crystal Palace for you, or Liverpool for me, or Ireland. You have to really care. And I don't think anybody cares apart from the jockeys that are actually riding, and whether they actually care that much about it, I'm not that sure either. So I don't think it works, but I think it's trying something different. And I think for one day only, let's just get on with it.
Jolly good. TC, do you share that emotion, or are you a big fan?
No, I'm a bit indifferent. Obviously, it's not good having just six handicaps as your main Saturday feature meeting. However, I do normally like the fact that international riders come across. Obviously, we can't do that this year. The international team's basically made up of British riders. But usually, I like the fact that you get to see these foreign riders come over and pit their wits against the normal domestic jockeys.
Righty-ho, we will tackle it as six 10-race handicaps and hopefully pick plenty of winners. The first race is the 5-furlong Dubai Duty-Free Shergar Cup Dash. And these are best prices. 9-2 Tis Marvellous, 6-1 King of Stars, 6-1 Stone of Destiny, 7-1 Tone the Barone, 15-2 Desert Safari, 10-1 Bar. Going currently good. We could get a fair bit of rain, though, so we're not entirely sure what the weather is going to be and what the ground will be. It's worth mentioning, by the way, with all these races, that Sky Bet, William Hill, Betfair and Paddy Power will pay out four places, and pretty much everyone else is three. So bear that in mind if you want each way bets. We'll start with you, Tom. Who do you fancy for the 5-furlong contest?
Well, I'm going to try and exploit the four places later in a couple of the races. But in this first race, I think the favourite's going to get it done. Tis Marvellous. He won this race in 2018. He seems to be around for ages, this sprinter for Clive Cox. I'm hopeful that 3 years after that initial success in the race, he'll repeat the feat. I thought what was interesting, I watched his previous success in this race in 2018 earlier today. I thought what was interesting about that was not only did he lug 9 stone 13 pounds to victory, which he's got again in this race this year, but also the fact that he raced down the middle of the track. They tend to come stand side in all these Shergar Cup sprint races. But those that race against the rail in this race have had a pretty poor record. And Tis Marvellous has drawn one, so furthest away from the rail, which I think is a plus. He has a very good turn of foot. He finished fourth in the Group 1 before, now racing a handicap company. Clearly not the horse he used to be, but he maintains plenty of his ability. He was a decent third last time out. I like the fact that Kevin Stott rides. He's one of the better jockeys at the Shergar Cup this year. I just thought Tis Marvellous was a standout in the opener.
Jolly good. Who's your fancy to get the ball rolling, DJ?
Oh, yeah. Tis Marvellous has a big chance, Bruce. I can see where Tom is coming from. But I thought Count D'Orsay was too big of a price at 14-1. Like, Tim Easterby's horse at the moment. Like, to put it in perspective, before we did the show, in the last fortnight, he's had 13 winners in 16 seconds. Like, I know he's a lot of runners, but that's some going to have, you know, basically 29 horses finished in the first two in the last fortnight. And I just thought with Count D'Orsay, he's just been craving the rain to arrive because he needs some cut in the ground. So the more rain they get, I think the better for Count D'Orsay. He's down to a mark of 98. He's been running off 100. He's been running reasonably well. I think he can forget his run at Chester last time. He was pushed very wide. And just think a race like this kind of suits him. I'm not quite convinced he's mad about a big, massive field. So the 10 runners here obviously suits as well. Stall 11, I'm not sure of either. But I think off 98, he's more than capable of being really competitive. And I think 14-1 is just 2, 4, or 6 points possibly too big.
Okay, thanks, chaps. Like I say, the weather forecast I saw, there's big sort of blobs of rain sweeping across from the southwest. Some might hit Ascot, some might not. So it really could be anything from good to extremely testing. We move on, the 125. is the Dubai Duty Free Shergar Cup Stayers from 5 furlongs to 2 miles. We go now, and Uber Call is the favourite at 7-2. It's 11-2 Call My Bluff, 13-2 Island Brave, 15-2 East Asia, 8 Indianapolis, and 17-2 Bar. And David Jennings, you can go first. Who do you like here?
I think this could be a winner for Michaeli Michelle. Is that how we're pronouncing her? Who has made quite an impression both on our screens and in the saddle. She's terrific. And I think Call My Bluff, I think the ground has come right for Call My Bluff. And the form of his recent win at Chester has worked out really, really well. Because Speedo Boy was really impressive next time as well. And Speedo Boy is now £6 higher than he was at the time when Call My Bluff beat him. And Call My Bluff was always holding on, I thought, at Chester back in June. Ground should be fine. He's only gone up £3. So he's gone up to a mark of 83, which is a career high mark.
When you say, hang on a second, DJ, when you say ground will be fine, what is fine, given we don't know what the ground's going to be? What does
well,
he want?
Well, it's not going to be quick. I'd imagine it's going to be good to soft or on the slow side of good, which is ideal. Like, the softer, the more rain they get, the more I'll fancy Call My Bluff. So I don't think it's going to be quick. They're going to get some rain. And at the moment, I'd say it's still on the easy side of good. So I hope there's as much rain as possible for my first two selections, because I think Count D'Orsay will appreciate it in the first and certainly Call My Bluff in the second.
Okay, thank you very much. Thomas?
I think Call My Bluff is the key to the race. Not the fact that I fancy him to win, but the fact that he's going to set the early pace. And if that is the case, and he sets a reasonably good gallop, then I fancy Indianapolis to run a good race. Maybe hit the first four if you're looking for the each way terms, or maybe even first three. I think he's around 8-1 right now. He's the son of the brilliant Galileo, formerly with Balador and Aidan O'Brien. I think for 3 runs at the start of his career, hasn't really progressed into the stayer. Many probably thought he would, given his pedigree, but he really likes this track. His form figures here read 154. Best performance this season came behind Vindolanda at this meeting, at this track, sorry. He stays the trip really well, benefits from a fast pace, and is ground versatile. He's won on any ground ranging from good to heavy. So Indianapolis is a reliable option if they go hard in this race for me.
Excellent. Thanks, chaps. We're moving on to the 2 o'clock. A mile and a half is the trip, and it's the Dubai Duty-Free Shergar Cup Challenge. Another wide open contest. Sam Cook heads the market at 4-1. And then it's 11-2 Group 1 Power, 7-1 Spanish Kiss, 8-1 Graphite, and 8-1 HMS President. And I can let you into a little secret. I'm sitting next to Paul Keighley as we speak, and he was talking to Sean Levy earlier. And Sean Levy had to delay their chat because Rafe Beckett had made him ride Sam Cook out on the gallops. I don't know whether that's a clue in itself or not. But make of that what you will. What do you make of the race, though, Tom?
I think it's between Sam Cook and Spanish Kiss, though I do think Spanish Kiss should be favourite, and I'm pretty surprised he's not. He was available at 12-1 earlier this week, which is just remarkable given that he's a massive improver in the race. If you take out his last effort at Ascot, where he clearly didn't seem to stay the mile six, he made a big move to move into third in the straight, flattened out, finished fifth. If you take that run away, his previous two victories at York and Newmarket are standout performances. He basically won on the bridle both times. Now he's dropping back to a mile four. I think there's plenty more improvement in Spanish Kiss. To me, he should be half the price he is. I genuinely can't believe it that he's 7-1 still. 12-1 was stupid earlier in the week. He's one of my most confident selections. He's got push button acceleration for a stayer. Sam Cook is the danger, but he's a horse that I've just fallen off the cliff with. I've backed him many times. He's well handicapped off a mark of 90, but Spanish
Kiss.
Come
jumping with me, Tom. We'll go down together. Come jumping.
Gonna stick with Spanish Kiss this time, I think.
Okay, DJ.
Oh, I'm jumping. I'm going head first off the cliff. Now you say, you know, he's a cliff horse for us, and he is, because I think I said to a few people that this is going to be a Group 2, possibly Group 1 horse in time when he got soft ground back in probably 2019. But like, he's only ran 11 times, right? And on grass, he's only ran 8 times. He's won 2 of them and he's been second twice. So sometimes we get into our head when a horse has been beaten at reasonably short prices and they've disappointed us that they're, you know, we've disaffection for them that we shouldn't have. But I think maybe we're being a little bit too harsh on Sam Cook. This is a ridiculously well-handicapped horse. Like, there are valid excuses for a lot of his runs, especially the one at York back in May in the race against Illarab and Tronhall and a couple of well-handicapped horses. Like, it was just, that wasn't Sam Cook at all. He was too keen, he went too quick, and he got seriously tired. Last time at Chester, it was just vintage Sam Cook. Like, he was wide into the home straight, and you think, how could a horse that goes wide into the home straight possibly get into any trouble? And lo and behold, Sam Cook managed to get into trouble. I actually thought it was quite a good run, I have to say. On ground, that was even, it was good to soft, but it was probably a little bit quicker than he would have liked. I think this is ideal for him. Like, he's running off a mark of 90. Lord, holy God. If you told me that 2 years ago, I would have laughed at you. He's still a good horse. He's still lightly raced. And I think 4-1 is more than fair. Off this mark, he should be battering these.
Okay, it'll be a wonderful world for DJ if Sam Cook gets the win in the 2 o'clock. The 2:35 is the mile. It's a round mile. And Dance Fever is the favourite at 11-4. Then Dashing Roger at 11-2. Vintager is sixes. Revich is eights. Uzo is nines. Raising Sand. Raising Sand's running. Nines, talk about cliff horses, and then 10-1 bar. Should I be backing Raising Sand here, DJ? I backed him last time, and he was I got seven places, and he was eighth, obviously. So
yeah, I know we don't want to be giving our naps away this early in the show, Bruce, but my nap is for you to back Raising Sand, because that's an absolute certainty. I'd say you've backed it every single start, have you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Kills have just said yes, by the way. He whispered. He's trying to keep all quiet while we're doing the show. But when I asked you, should we be backing Raising Sand, Kills went yes.
Yeah, and I'd say you're probably still in profit. I'd say you're in profit because he's popped up at some nice prices. And yeah, I think he'll run well. But I think Dance Fever is going to be very hard to beat. Lightly raced, only had the 8 starts. And, you just look back at that run and that international last time and... was he the best horse in the race? Possibly. He travelled like the best horse in the race, and I thought that was a hell of a run. That was off a mark in 96. So, you know, he's up £4 for that. But I think if you go through all of these and you say to yourself, which one of them has the most scope for improvement, it's definitely Dance Fever, a 4-year-old who definitely is unexposed. And he's one of those milers that could just progress into stakes company, and I think he should be able to win this off 100. So Dance Fever for me.
Who for you, Tom?
It's going to be Raising Sand. I'm happy that you and Kiel are giving me the nod there. I think Raising Sand's going to run a big race. I think it's a wide open affair. Dance Fever deserves to be favourite, as DJ has just made the case for him. But Raising Sand finally is going to get his conditions. Been running on unsuitably fast ground the last twice. Handicappers begun to relent, down to a mark of 97, £6 below his last winning mark, and it actually allows him to compete in 0 to 100 for the first time since 2018. You know, this is a horse that's regularly been running in big field, heritage handicapped, and he just doesn't get his ground. The connections are always like, well, where's the rain? When the rain does come, he seems to be in a spot where he can't win.
He's always drawn wrong side as well, isn't he, Tom? That kid.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah, he's been luckless throughout his career. He's won 7 times. This is a horse that's not, you know, he's not failing to win. He's just whenever he goes to win a race or has been put in a spot, he just doesn't have things go his way. I think everything is in his way this time. Around, 9-1? Decent price, exactly. I think, Raising Sand.
Yeah, he's a 9-year-old racing off 9 stone 9, and he's 9-1. So he'll probably finish 9th. There you go. 3:10, we've got the mile and a half Shergar Cup Classic. Blimey. Barn Owl is 7-2 favourite, and then it's 5-1 Possible Man, 13-2 Contact, 13-2 Sky Cutter, 8-1 Star Caliber, 8-1 State of Bliss, 11-1 Bar. Tom Collins, have you got strong fancy here?
I think there's a standout again in Barn Owl, though this is definitely not a classic like the race name suggests. Roger Charlton brings his horses on for each start early in their career. Barn Owl's clearly improving. What's he have? 5 runs now. He's a son of Frankel. Definitely progressed for the step up in trip this year. Won really well first time up at Ripon. He hit the line really powerfully that day. I think the race efficiency was 106%. They finished the race really well. And he held on from a William Haggis trained runner. He's got a victory in him. Bumped into a well-backed and classy rival last time called Just Fine. I think was punted from 8-1 into 7-2 favourite or something like that. The money was down on the Michael Stout train horse that day. Barn Owl still ran a very good race from basically last to finish second. Dropping class, arguably. Hayley Turner gets the ride. Nothing but a positive at the Shergar Cup meeting, as we all know. I think Barn Owl's the worthy favourite and will take all the beating.
Do you concur with that view, DJ?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this will win. Go back to that run at Ripon. Babindi, who was second that day, won next time out. Harlem Soul was third, also won since then as well. So it was only a little 4-runner novice stakes at Ripon, but it's worked out really well. And you know what? Even the run, you could see in the run against Mohaffet back at Lingfield in March, you could see from Barn Isle that this was a horse that could potentially progress throughout the season. I thought that was a really nice run. Like, it's worked out really well. Unforgotten was second that day. Zoom Tiger was fourth, and there's been plenty of winners coming out of that race at Lingfield. And last time at Sandown, as Tom said, things just happened a little bit too quickly. That was a mile and two. This is a mile and four on softer ground. And Barn Isle off 84, only £2 higher than that ripping win where the second and third have won since. He should be very hard to beat.
Two very confident votes for Barn Owl there. Okay, 3:45. This wraps up the competition and it's over 6 furlongs. It's the Shergar Cup Sprint. Royal Scimitar, 7-2. 4-1 Potmaster. 5-1 Dream Composer. 8-1 Ken Gorm. 9-1 Crazy Luck. And 10-1 Shark 2-1. We'll start with you, DJ.
Oh, this is tricky, Bruce. This is, of all of them now, I found this the trickiest. A very tentative vote for Shark 2-1 for Andre Azzeni and Richard Fahey. Again, reasonably lightly raced. Hasn't had that many starts this season. Been waiting for cut in the ground. I thought there was more sign of life last time at Goodwood. I thought that was a good run.
He stayed on really well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because he looked like he might get swamped, but he kept on really nicely.
He kept at it, James. Only beaten 2 lengths. And you know, I'd say that was probably just as strong a race as this one. Like, there was some unexposed horses in there. I know Farazzi Lane didn't run well, and a few others were disappointing, like Dark Shift and Run to Freedom. But I thought that was a really solid run. And I just like these horses that have probably been campaigned for, you know, spring first of all with cutting the ground and then coming into the autumn. And I think he certainly off a mark of 87 could have more to offer in this type of ground. So Shark 2-1.
Shark 2-1 is a 10-1 chance. Who are you going to go for, Tom?
I think the value lies with Dream Composer and could provide a much needed winner for Mikhail Michelle if she's in the fight coming into the last races of the Shergar Cup. Dream Composer has been a rapid improver since joining James Evans, won under Ellie McKenzie and Laura Pearce. And I think the jockey assignment looks ideal with Mikhail Michelle getting aboard. Flew home for fourth behind significantly at Royal Ascot in the Palace of Holyrood House handicap. I think it's definitely better at 6 furlongs as well. Hit the line really powerfully over 5 that day. I think it's one of the more enticing bets on the card. Especially if Mikhail Michelle's in the fight. I think these jockeys in the Shergar Cup, if they've got a chance of winning in the final leg, then they'd ride so much better. I don't know if that's just a mental thing or what.
Yeah, definitely a mental thing.
I always think that. Like if a jockey wins a group or grade one on their previous ride and then they're riding the next race, I always think they ride better. I don't know what it is.
Do you not think that's just because we remember them? Because so if a jockey wins a grade one and then it wins the next race, you remember the jockey because it won the group one. Whereas if the jockey wins the group one and then doesn't win the next race, you just forget about it. So you only just remember the ones that follow up.
It's called recency bias, Tom. I think it's a very, very flawed theory, my friend. I really do.
Is there no confidence? Like a confidence angle?
But they're all confident, aren't they?
I don't think so. No, I don't think. I mean, you're sitting in a saddle on a horse. It's a separate day. It's a new golf hole. I think they do it exactly the same, mate. I really do. I'd be amazed. I think, you know, there is a confidence thing, particularly with jump jockeys, and you know, certain jockeys lose their bottle and don't want to go through the gaps. But I don't think it's based on what happens in the previous ride. But anyway, so who are we saying we fancy there? We fancy the second favourite, don't we, Tom?
Dream Composer, yes.
Dream Composer. Okay, right. That was Ascot. 3 more ITV races coming right up.
Racing Post Members Club is the only subscription that includes access to the Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m. Plus, exclusive premium content, including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. As a listener of the Postcast, you can enter the code POSTCAST21, that's POSTCAST21, to get 50% off your first 3 months. Head to racingpost.com, click on subscribe, and choose Get Ultimate Monthly to get started. That's code POSTCAST21.
Welcome back, as well as a marathon 6-race card at Ascot ITV4, showing a race at Newmarket and 2 at Haydock. We'll start with the Newmarket Heat, which takes place at 2:50. It's the 100% of Racing TV profits back to racing. Sweet Solera Stakes for fillies over 7 furlongs. It's a group 3 for the 2-year-olds and Wild Beauty for Godolphin is favourite at 5-2. It's 5-1 Sunstrike, 5-1 Value Theory, 15-2 should have been more, and 14-1 bar. And we'll start with Tom. Who do you like?
I can guarantee you one thing here, Bruce. Okay. I haven't spoken to Tom before we started, but I can guarantee you we will be tipping the same horse here.
All right. Well, we'll see.
I guarantee we're David. Not.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, well, then you've got it wrong.
Why were you basing that on? Do you think you've got a view of, you know, a way into Tom Collins' mind?
Yeah, well, I thought I did, but obviously I don't.
Well, you never know. Let's find out. Who do you fancy, Tom?
When I was at Sandown last time, when Wild Beauty and Sunstrike ran in the listed star stakes, I thought Wild Beauty was pretty unlucky finishing second. She deserved to be favourite in here. Look, she wouldn't have won the star stakes. She bumped into Inspiral, who I think 16 or 14 to 1,000 guineas next year. She finished one place ahead of Sunstrike. She'll confirm that form with the third place horse. She's the horse to beat. Maybe DJ's with Wild Beauty. But I'm going to chance an each way on a horse that I was really impressed with last time in a novice company, which was Majestic Glory. Took a lot of money prior to that race. It showed dramatic improvement from run 1 to 2 as well. From 2 to 3, similar kind of RPR, but took money. I like the fact that the punters came in for Majestic Glory, ran over on the Jai course at Newmarket. It's got course and distance form. Quick and clear when the rising ground came, which I think is a big plus. And I know she's taken a big step up to Group 3 from novice company, but what, 14, 12 to 1? I think she's massively overpriced. She could be good enough to put it up to Wild Beauty, but the favourite is the horse to be in the race.
And clearly David Jennings' selection.
No, it's not.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been looking at this race all week, and I genuinely thought all week that Value Theory would be absolutely smashed and end up going off about 7-4, 2-1. And she's still 5-1. And I just think she's really good. And Mark Johnson's record in the race obviously speaks for itself. He won it in 2014, and then Main Edition won it in 2018, and West End Girl won it in 2019. So I think it's a race he always targets with his kind of best or certainly one of his better juvenile fillies. And this Value Theory, like, you don't generally see a Mark Johnson horse start favourite first time out, but Value Theory started first time out at Kempton back at the end of June, and real kind of awkward start, then just ran a bit all over the place, and I just thought it was such an eye-catching debut behind Saffron of Simon and Ed Crisford's. Next time out, again, well back, Newmarket maiden, and just everything about Value Theory that day I loved. She was keen, she was enthusiastic, but when Joe Fanning gave her a squeeze, kind of two out, she really, really picked up. Now, we don't know what the form of that is like. Tinderbox, who was second, hasn't run since, and neither has Annie Song. But just visually, sometimes you kind of have to believe in what you see. And I just thought Value Theory that day looked really, really good. Straight after the race, Charlie Johnson said, we're going to go for the Sweet Solaria. And I would say she's quite a bit above average. I know she only posted an RPR of 84 last time, but I thought it looked a little bit better than that. I think she could be very good. Value Theory.
I'm still intrigued as to why you think Tom Collins would tip that one.
Because I have deep respect for Tom. And when I watched it, when I went through this race during the week and I found out who was on the podcast, I said, that is one that Tom is going to spot. And he's going to get in there ahead of me and he's going to make his theory. And I'm going to look like I'm just copying him and it's plagiarism. But obviously not.
Righto, let's move on to Haydock then. They're two ITV4 races, the first of which is at 2:25. It's the Mansion Bet. Bet £10, get £20 handicap. A class 3 over a mile. Fantastic Fox, 11-4. Blimey, they're all wide open today, aren't they? I've seen a favourite below 11-4. Royal Muse is 7-2. T-Ban is 7-2. Dubai Mirage is 4s. And then it's 14-1 bar. Just the 6 runners. DJ, have you got this one sussed?
Oh, I don't think so, Bruce. No. I can make a case for the top 4. Not much between any of them. Fantastic Fox is obviously one that you'd imagine will have a bit more tougher. And I didn't think it was Sylvester D'Souza's finest hour last time at Ascot. They just got away in him a little bit. And I know he arrived there still to have every chance. But, like, it was well backed to win a decent handicap at Ascot off 94. Similar sort of race here. Won't be having a bet, but thought Fantastic Fox was the most likely winner.
Okay, will you be having a bet, Thomas?
No, I won't. Not a race that I would bet. And it looks very trappy to me. I thought Dubai Mirage could be the one after a decent run at York last time, but this will be a race I'm sitting out.
Okay, let's see if the boys sit out the 4:10, which brings down the ITV 9 race marathon, ITV 4. mile 2.5 the trip. A mansion bet, Rose of Lancaster Stakes, Group 3, Real World is favourite at 6-4. Then it's 11-2, Fox's Tales. The disrespect for the mighty Yukon Glen goes on 6-1. Why on earth are they letting such a legend go off at 6-1? Extra Elusive is 7-1. It's 11-1 Stormy Antarctic and 18-1 Barron. If you're not tipping each way on Yukon Glen, then you're a pair of idiots. DJ.
Well, we already know I'm an idiot. So it's just justifying people's opinions there. I thought Real World will win. Ground is obviously a little bit of an unknown. It's going to be softer than it was last time. But that run at Newbury last time, like the Rab, I think, may not have stayed, but I think it's a very, very good horse. Solid Stone was third and Moving Time was fourth. I thought that was a really solid list of race. You had horses, like Solid Stone was rated 113 and Real World made bits of them. The ground is obviously the little bit of an unknown. If they did get a lot of rain, you'd have to be worried.
They're expecting absolutely tons, DJ. I mean, they always do, don't they? There, for some reason, it always attracts rain, but apparently the forecast is pretty bad, and particularly for Sunday, by the way.
It's a complete unknown because in Maidan, obviously, it was obviously quite firm every time he ran. And then his two runs here have been on really quick ground. So it's impossible to know, absolutely impossible. And it's like Chelmsford was where it won on debut. So I think it's impossible to know how he'll cope with the ground, whether he'll even run or not to get out of rain. But if it stays good to soft, I think he's the horse to beat.
Where do you think Yukon will finish, DJ?
Third.
Third?
Third.
I mean, one might be in, two can't. Who else is going to beat him?
I think Fox's Tails would be second.
Okay, we'll see. Tom Collins, come on. You're too sensible to overlook Yukon Glen.
I also think he's going to finish third. And this is a race where I'm going to actually be playing forecasts. So hopefully he does finish third and not sneak into second, the poxy Yukon Glen. But no, I'll be playing reverse forecast with Real World and Extra Elusive. I think they're the two standouts in this race. Real World, DJ's made a good case for him. He achieved an RPR of 120 last time out in the Stevenson Stakes when he was stepped up in trip to mile two. Just to put that into context, when Armoury won the Huxley Stakes Group 2 earlier this year, he achieved an RPR of 119. Lady Bothop achieved an RPR of 117, I think, in the Nassau. Bangkok won 16 in the Group 2 York Stakes. And obviously that was in a listed race. Real World, the step up to Group 3 won't be a problem for him. If he handles the ground, he'll win this race. Extra Elusive, I think, is the main danger. He should be able to get a perfect trip through behind Pallavicino, who I thought was the most likely leader, him and maybe Majestic Dawn. If he can do that, he might be able to put it up to Real World and try and retain his crown from last year. He's been freshened up for the race by Roger Charlton. So a Real World, Extra Elusive, reverse forecast. I think Real World is the most likely winner, though.
Thank you very much, gents. That was the TV action. Loads more to come. Stick with us.
Racing Post Members Club is the only subscription that includes access to the Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive premium content, including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. As a listener of the Postcast, you can enter the code POSTCAST21, that's POSTCAST21, to get 50% off your first 3 months. Head to racingpost.com, click on subscribe, and choose Get Ultimate Monthly to get started. That's code POSTCAST21.
Okay, welcome back to part three of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, David Jennings, and Tom Collins. Coming up on Sunday, two really, really good sprints. And we'll also get the boys' view on the arc. But first of all, I want to know what the lads fancy on Saturday away from the TV cameras. And we'll get the naps. And we'll start with DJ. Don't give your nap away. What else do you like apart from those 9 televised races?
Yeah, a couple in Ireland, Bruce. In the 2:42, the Platinum Stakes, a listed race at Cork. I like Soul Search. Now, Soul Search doesn't win very often. And she's a little bit infuriating because she should win more. She only won one of her 19. But ground, trip, track, everything is in her favour here. And I think she'll be banged there. And also in the same colour, same connections later on the card, in the Give Tank Stakes, a Group 3, Thunder Kiss. I'd say this has been the plan all season for Thunder Kiss. A course and distance winner earlier on the season when she beat Silence Please. Good run behind Cadillac at the Curragh last time. Just a rock solid performer who should be hard to beat. And just two at Kilbeggan.
Whoa. That's the 4:55. In case any listeners thinking, oh, he's made a good case for that. Which one is it? 4:55 Cork.
Sorry, and I've been getting better at the time.
You should be 100%, shouldn't you?
Yeah, that's disappointing.
Do you remember when you first started doing this, you would just go on about the maiden hurdle or the cellar or whatever, and you just expect the listener to know when that was. But you're almost flawless, but you went back to the old DJ.
Yeah, do you know what that is? That's complacency, Bruce. I've taken it for granted, you know. No. Moving on to the 7:15 at Kilbeggan, which is a 3-mile beginner's chase. Definite plan. I thought stayed on really nicely last time at Wexford, crying out for a step up to 3 miles, and I thought Definite Plan to win that for Sneezy Foster and Keith Donoghue. And in the 7:45, I'm tipping a horse with absolutely ridiculous form figures who's been pulled up more times than anything of late. Dream Conti runs for Noel Mead in that 7:45. Now, Dream Conti, once upon a time, I thought was going to be a pretty good staying chaser. It's been a tale of woe in the last year, but he's down to a mark of 125. And like, he ran against Manila Indo back in the autumn last year. I think he could just be better than these. His form figures are absolutely ridiculous, and I should never be tipping a horse with those form figures. But I think Dream Conti could just be a class above them in the 7:45 at Kilbeggan.
Lovely stuff. Thanks, DJ. We'll get you a nap in a sec. But first, Tom, what have you got for us?
2-1 at Haydock in the 3:35. I think Passion Over is a massive price, far bigger than she should be, just mainly because of her connections. I was really impressed with her second time up at Lingfield. She beat a couple of consistent fillies and she really hit the line well. She could have won that race by 10 if the jockey wanted rather than 5. She built on that when she was switched to turf last time. The second in that race, Sweet Enough, has won 2 races since. They were going to go to Glorious Goodwood, but come here, I think a mark of 89 is decent for Passion Over, who's a double figure price. And then over in the States, it wouldn't be a podcast if I don't mention the States. And actually, if you like Grade 1, Group 1 races, then Saratoga is the place to go because there's a Saratoga Derby and the Grade 1 Whitney as well. In the Saratoga Derby, you've got Bolshoi Ballet, the likely market leader. Cadillac's going over there for Jessica Harrington, Secret Protective, Charlie Appleby, and my selection, State of Rest, for Joseph O'Brien. He has £6 to find with Bolshoi Ballet on official figures. But I thought he ran to a really high level on his return when he was unlucky at the car. I finished a good third, likely to take a big step forward. His Champagne run, where he finished third behind Chindit and Albashir last year at 2, I thought was a very good performance, and Fast Ground should help his cause. I think he's going to be about 10-1. State of Rest in the 10:10 at Saratoga. The Saratoga
Derby.
Are you on
Sky tomorrow, Tom?
I'm not. I've got a Saturday off.
You've been blown out, have you?
I know. I've got a rare Saturday off. I'm back on later in the month, though. I think August 21st.
Jolly good. Right, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Tom Collins.
The nap is going to be Comanche in the 4 o'clock at Newmarket, for trainer Charlie Appleby. Should get a nice trip through behind owner mate Storm Damage. Finished second behind the brilliant Bayed last time. I think he's going to be a cut above rated, just 87.
Thank you very much. David Jennings?
It's got to be Sam Cook in the 2 o'clock at Ascot. He's running off 90, Bruce. Like, it's about time Sam Cook just gave us back a few favours now. Sam Cook, 2 o'clock at Ascot.
Is that a last chance saloon for him?
No, it's not really. He's just bet. Like, he's just so superior to that mark. Like, he's at least got £10 in hand. So he just needs to put it all together. Just settle, you know, third or fourth. Settle nicely in the early stages. Kind of swing slightly right coming into the home straight and win by 4 or 5 lengths. That's just what he has to do.
Okay, excellent. Right then, there is also TV action on Sunday, ITV, with the Sunday series. They're showing all 7 from Haydock, and they're also showing the 4:10 at the Curra, which is the Keeneland Phoenix Stakes, a Group 1 over 6 furlongs. 2-year-olds obviously here, and it's been won by some proper tools in the past. Lucky Vega, Siskin, Advertise, Caravaggio. Some real good ones. Let's see what we've got this year, whether there's anything to match them. Go Bears Go is currently the 2-1 favourite. And then it's 5-2 Castle Star, 7-2 Dr. Zempf, 12-1 Ebro River, and 14 Bar. DJ, who's your selection going to be?
DJ, before you start, this is going to be a repeat where I'm going to now say I know exactly who DJ is going to be putting
up. Mine is a giveaway.
Right, go on, Tom. Who's DJ going to tip?
100% going to tip Castle Star, and he's going to rave about him too.
Go on then, DJ, take it away.
Well done, Tom. Well done. 1-0 to you. If you were to put an order, things I love in life, you'd have Aoife and George obviously joined top there. You'd have, you know, Rachel McAdams somewhere hovering around 2 or 3, and then you'd have, you know, a nice Almond Magnum, and Castle Star would be around like 4 or 5. I love this horse, my God. Now, people will point to the fact that he's beaten a length and a quarter by Go Bears Go last time in the Railway, but do you know what? I just thought everything went wrong at the start. you can say that it makes no difference if a hold-up horse misses the break, but when you're running over 6 furlongs on good ground with quick horses, I think it does make a bit of a difference. Castle Star was very lethargic away from the stalls, and I thought Chris Hayes had to make up his ground at the time when he didn't really want to make it up. He had to make up his ground to get into a challenging position. He actually traded quite short and running. He got to challenge Go Bears Go, and because he worked so hard to get there, Go Bears Go just had a bit left in the last 100 yards. I think ground-wise, I think any cutting the ground for Castle Star is fine, because arguably his most impressive performance was on soft to heavy ground in the Marble Hill. Now, there's a yellow rain warning for Ireland for the next, like, whatever many hours. So there has to be loads of rain at the Curragh. I think that's going to be fine for Castle Star. I think, personally, he is up there with the best juveniles we've seen this season. I think he's very, very good. And I think you can forgive him. Now, I know I forgive far too many people and far too many horses far too often. But I think you can definitely forgive Castle Star's run in the railway last time. I think he's the best horse in the race, and I think he's going to prove that here.
You've got a yellow weather warning. It's a rubbish summer, isn't it, DJ? When are you taking the family away on holiday?
No, it's been... This is the thing. This is the recency bias, right? For 3 weeks in Ireland, we had temperatures... Well, 2.5 weeks. We've had temperatures that we've never had ever before. 32 degrees when I was away in Galway 2 weeks ago. It was incredible. People forget stuff really quickly. It's actually been a really nice summer over here.
Has it? Oh, good. Excellent. All right, then. Are you going to row in with Castle Star, Tom?
To be fair, it's a race I haven't looked too much at, though I do love the top three in the market. I think they're all really improving two-year-olds. Go Bad Go will be a great winner again for David Lotnane and Ross Orion. Ross Orion, definitely in my top three best riders. I think he's fantastic. Castle Star, DJ keeps convincing me about this horse. I backed him last time. I think I might have to go in again. I did think he was very impressive when he beat Masetto, to be fair, in the Marble Hill back in May, but it's not a race I'll be betting in.
Okay, how about this for a race at Deauville on Sunday? 250, the Maurice de Geest, 6.5 furlongs. Campanelli is 5-2, Starman 11-4, Rohan 7, King Ross 8, Thunder Moon 10, Laura of Indices 11. What a race this is going to be, isn't it? Who's going to win it, Tom?
I'm going to take a big chance in here. It's going to be with Thunder Moon. Now, he hasn't shown anything like the same level of form that I thought he would this year. Obviously, he was very disappointed in the Guineas. Then he ran at Ascot behind the brilliant Poetic Flair in the St. James's Palace. Last time out, though, at Deauville, I thought he showed the tendency to... Well, he was just coming back to the same level he showed at two. He achieved an RPR of 114. That's just £3 below what he achieved in the Group 1 at the Curragh in September when, as a two-year-old, the National Stakes. When he beat Wembley, he was only beaten 2 lengths by St Mark's Basilica in the Dewhurst. I thought that was such a great run. And obviously, St Mark's Basilica has gone on to achieve great things this year, winning the Eclipse. If Thunder Moon is now back, which I hope he is, he could run a big race at a double figure price. But this is a thrilling contest. Campanelle, there's got to be a ground worry. I know she's won on all kinds of ground, but there's a thing. Like, I have a US bias with my selections anyway, just by watching the US racing all the time. But with Campanelle, I always want to take her on. So hopefully Thunder Moon can get it done.
Okay, it was interesting actually when Thunder Moon ran in the Guineas that I think Lydia and one of the Dixons were saying on Racing TV that he still looked like a two-year-old and he ran like it as well, didn't he? But then he left that behind, so perhaps he's just taking time to come to hand. So yeah, interesting. Really good race this, isn't it, DJ? What do you make of it?
Yeah, I like Thunder Moon as well. I think it's funny, like, given how disappointing he'd been on both his previous starts, I thought it was interesting how short he was in the market last time in the Prix Jean Prat. I thought that was a really nice run. He showed plenty of speed, and he probably should have won. He was obviously just headed out of it by Laws of Indices. I'd say he'll probably reverse that form. And I just think, you know, 6 furlongs, 110 yards. This horse is about speed. I think, like, he was trying to make they were trying to make him into a miler, but I think he's more of a speed horse. And I think certainly at his price at the moment, I love Maxime Guillon as well. So I'm in agreement with Tom. Thunder Moon.
Okay, chaps, before you go, I mean, it's sticking in France. This is going to be some arc if they all stand their ground. And on Thursday evening at Leopardstown, we had another dimension added to it when Tanawa ran a real cracker, absolutely cruised to victory. I'll give you some latest indicative prices, and then you can tell us who's going to win. Snowfall is 100-30. Adiyar is 4-1. Tanawa is 6-1. Wonderful Tonight is 6-1. Hurricane Lane is 7. Love 9. St Mark's Basilica 9. Mishriff 10. And it's 16-1. Bar, what a race, DJ.
I just hope they all get there. And
it'll
no,
fall
like,
apart. It always
there's
does.
No, you know, feed scare that forces the O'Brien horses not to run or anything like that. I love Adair. I absolutely love him. And you know what? I would be, how amazing would it be if he won the Derby, the King George and the Ark? It would be magic. I just wonder, will he be able to give all that weight to Snowfall? And I just think the rest of them, especially, like, you know, the older colts and Tarnawa, I just wonder, it's a lot of weight to be given to the three-year-old fillies in this race. And Snowfall, to me, has been pretty much flawless this season. Like, I know you can read too much into the Oaks performance, but the Irish Oaks, to go from going, oh God, is something bizarre going to happen here in the home turn? She's hemmed in a little bit, to winning by 8.5 lengths, arguably against pretty poor opposition. But I think, knowing that she coped perfectly well with conditions, I think Snowfall is going to be very hard to beat.
Oh, by the way, it was a good interview with Ryan Moore last week. I enjoyed that. I did want to ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
Did you have any quotes from Ryan Moore that you didn't put into that piece? It felt like everything he'd said went in, because you don't get much out of him, do you? But it's a good piece, really interesting.
Yeah, I kind of pestered him for ages. See, I met him in Hong Kong a few years ago, and I kind of find him fascinating. He's actually much better company than you'd imagine. And I thought he explained himself quite well in why he doesn't give more after races. Sometimes, as he said, if he wins a race at Wolverhampton, there just isn't anything to add. And I thought he explained that quite well. I really enjoyed it because I find him fascinating. We walked the track at Leopardstown together one Thursday evening, and I was kind of a bit nervous now going. I was going, oh God, this could be an absolute disaster. And as you read in the piece, the first thing he said was, there's nothing to know. And I was like, right, I'm going to have to dig really deep here. But by the time we walked like 100 yards, we were chatting about, you know, the Euros and all that kind of stuff. But I really enjoyed his company. Like, I would actually like to go for a pint with him.
Yeah, no, it was excellent. It was a really good piece. Just a shame he wouldn't want to go for a pint with you. Who wins the arc, Tom Collins?
Well, it's undoubtedly the best arc I think I've ever seen. I haven't seen that many.
Oh, thanks. I know it was a good piece.
There's plenty of time for it to go wrong.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, no, are you not talking about my piece, Roy Moore, no?
No, sorry, DJ.
Yeah, I won't make it harder for Tom by asking if he read it, because I suspect he didn't. But anyway, we'll stick with the arc, Tom.
No, you know what? I actually did read it.
It wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a very good read. I saw it pushed on Twitter and I read it. It was a very good read. But yes, back to the arc, which is equally good as your piece, DJ, if they all turn up. My selection is going to be Hurricane Lane, I think, at this stage. Obviously, you can't be confident about a selection without knowing the final field, draw, ground, etc. But I was so impressed with him last time in the Grand Prix de Paris. Thought that was the perfect little prep race as well. I think this race has always been in mind for Hurricane Lane rather than Adair. I think I'd rather run Adair in the St. Ledger and then see what happens after then. But I don't know what Charlie Appleby would do. I think Hurricane Lane's had the perfect prep. He's clearly a very good horse. Handles Longchamp very well. He's going to be my selection at this stage. Is he 3 points bigger than Adair as well? I don't understand difference.
Why?
Well, they've shown the same level of form.
Surely the King George. Was the King George not like the best run of any horse this season, though?
I think St. Mark's Basilica was the best
one. The Derby as well. That was quite the difference between them, didn't it?
In the Derby, I think Adair obviously had the best trip. He got up the rail and the scooter clear. He did show that he was a lot better than Hurricane Lane that day, but Hurricane Lane lost two shoes and he's improved since.
He's a very good horse, Hurricane. I'm not grabbing your selection at all, but I'm just surprised you think that Hurricane Lane should be shorter than Adair in the market.
But just the same price. I think just the same price is fair. I thought Love basically gave that race to Adair, the King George, think by not going forward. I think they're showing a similar level of form, and I don't understand the discrepancy in the prices at this stage.
Okay. I've got to say this, and I don't normally chip in with a view on this, but after that run at Goodwood, I wouldn't be in a great rush to back Wonderful Tonight at sixes. What do you reckon, DJ?
No, I don't. I've said my piece on Wonderful Tonight. I know Maddie disagreed with me, but I think these are just better than her. She's brilliant. Mm. She's brilliant, but these are just really brilliant.
Yeah, no, it should be great. Fingers crossed. At least, there's the front eight in the bet, and at least six of those get there. We'll have a fantastic race. It's the 100th arc, of course. Okay, chaps, thank you very much indeed, DJ and Tom. What have you got this weekend? Tom, you've got Saturday night off, haven't you? So what will you be up to?
Yeah, I've got Saturday and Sunday off. I don't believe it. Going to be watching some of the Olympics, obviously the racing, just chilling, really.
Lovely stuff. And what about you, DJ?
I'm in the Curragh on Sunday working at the Phoenix Stakes. And tomorrow I have a day off, which nowadays means walks in the park and swings and all that kind of jazz.
Are you still one of the best Gaelic football goalies in your own mind? Yeah. No, sorry, in Ireland?
I was going well. I transferred to a different club because we moved house, and I was going really well, and we played a match on Tuesday night, and I pulled a muscle above my hip, and it was actually very sore, because when you sneeze or cough or anything, it's really sore, but I think it's a little bit better now. But it was bad timing because the championship is next weekend.
Oh, blimey. Okay, chaps, thank you very much indeed for your expertise. Good luck with your bets. Thank you very much for listening. As always, Maddie's back on Monday to look through the weekend. We're back next Friday looking ahead to another weekend. Hope you can join us for that. Bet safely and best of luck.